Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. Good. Robin, Jason, how are you guys doing?
Well, right. We're doing great. Awesome. Give me your thoughts. Because I wasn't here yesterday, but
okay.
What were your thoughts when McTavish said the NHL is not a place to develop?
I thought that those words don't match many of the Oiler organization's actions. That, in fact, they've used the NHL to develop a number of players. Some of it's worked, and a lot of it hasn't. So, it didn't make sense to me coming from him, given that very few teams keep young players in the NHL to develop more than the Oilers do. So that's what I thought. What did you guys think?
That's my read, too, Ryan. You know, Mac T is not an unintelligent man.
No.
The things he said leads me to believe there's a tremendous amount of pressure. And I know that's look where they are in the standings. But, I mean, he's got to be tossing and turning over where this team is. A comment like that when he's done the exact opposite, to me it reeks of nervousness or saying the right thing even though your history's not the same. You know, go back a while. I know it's worn out now. The Schultz and the Norris potential thing. I mean, if you think through what you're going to say, Mac T doesn't come up with gems like this because it makes no sense.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I agree with you, Robin. Craig's not, he's a pretty intelligent guy overall. So I don't know. There's a whole bunch of things that just haven't made a lot of sense. And I think that, I mean, you remember the way he framed last year, guys? He framed it as the perfect storm. Remember that? That was kind of his, when asked what happened, that was his answer. It's the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect storm doesn't happen in back-to-back years. Like, that happens once in a career, maybe, the perfect storm. They made a movie about the perfect storm. And it just doesn't – I just wonder about the ability to step back, take a look at it, and not see it through, eyes of people who had to live it. And can they really take a look at this thing? Maybe that's why Bob Nicholson's there, because he wasn't really around for all of that. But it wasn't the perfect storm. It wasn't. It was a bunch of bad decisions and some bad luck, but some bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And to slough it off as the perfect storm, thank God we're through that. That'll never happen again. Well, it happened again because of a bunch more bad decisions. So, I don't know. I mean, they're trying to reason their way through a whole bunch of stuff right now, and they're trying to find reasons why and change course. And but it's just, to me, nothing significant has changed. Nothing significant has changed. The changes they made in the scouting staff, like Bob Green, I'm sure he'll give it his best and he'll do a good job, but nothing of substance has changed yet.
Yeah, and let me go back a bit further along those lines. This is because I thought it right at the time. I got to go out and get an associate or assistant coach for Ralph Krueger, who was not necessarily going to be Scotty Bowman with this team, but had done a reasonable job. Now, you set out to find an associate. A guy wows you so well that you change your mind, you gas the guy on Skype, you bring in this new thing. Isn't this that like saying, honey, I'm going to get that minivan we've been talking about, and you come back an hour later with a new Corvette because you changed your mind?
Yeah, and so this is the thing. When he did that, he was a rookie general manager, right?
Yep.
How many coaches' interviews had he been in on? How many coaching interviews had he conducted in his professional life as a manager?
Yep.
Was that one of the first ones? I'm not sure. But my point is, Glenn Sather has probably sat through 200 interviews. And now I'm not saying Craig doesn't understand the difference between, you know, somebody selling him a bill of goods or, I mean, Craig is he judges character, and it's not like that you have to have that experience to know the difference if someone's BSing you. But my point is they hired a rookie general manager who who then hired a rookie coach to hire a team full of a bunch of young players and rookies, and everyone and anybody is wondering at all why it hasn't been able to turn around. There isn't the requisite experience to turn this thing around from the people in the major positions of power. And by doing that, they took a situation that was already in a rebuild and they extended it, because now you got more people learning on the job. And there is a net effect to having all these people learning on the fly, because mistakes get made. Dallas, first-time NHL coach, mistakes got made that prolonged the pain of this whole thing. That's going to happen when you hire a first-time guy. Craig McTavish, mistakes are made as a first-time GM that prolong this whole thing.
You think he's learning from his mistakes?
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's still too early to tell. So what are his big mistakes? Overstatement have been big mistakes of his. We'll see if he maybe starts to be a little more understated about some of his projections. Also, accurately projecting players' potential, to me, is another area where he hasn't made some good judgment calls. So I'm not sure. Like we were talking as recently as last offseason, where, well, Justin Schultz is way ahead of Justin Falk in terms of contract and what he should be expecting. I mean, that was his projection of his own player. I think Craig has had issues looking at his own guys and accurately projecting what they are and what they're going to be. I think he's looked at it through positive glasses too much, rather than realistic, cynical ones a little bit, I suppose. So we'll see if he's going to get any better at that. If he thinks Darnell Nurse is just absolutely ready to step in and dominate next year, well, then it would probably indicate to me that he hasn't really changed or learned. If Darnell Nurse comes in and blows the doors off of camp next year and still starts the year in the American Hockey League, then it'll be clear that some lessons have been learned.
Yeah, absolutely. We've batted this around before, Ryan. Gregor's been talking about it today. When things go bad in Edmonton, they go really bad. I'm talking about the fan base. Nothing's good enough. Everything sucks. Get rid of everybody.
Yeah.
Now with a little success, they come back from 2-goal deficit 3 times. Win a game. Looks like a looser bunch. Looks like and a more cohesive bunch on the flip side. Under Todd Nelson, but it is a very short period. Some people might say it's even that dead cat bounce that you get. Your read on what you like about Nelson so far, at least in this short sample size.
Well, I think the players are playing hard for him. I think that the team is showing better resilience in game. They're not having the shoulder slump or out of it. You know, there's absolutely no way they're getting back into the game. That's kind of gone. They seem to be in most of the games they're playing and take a run at staying in them. I think Yakupov has been better under him, although Yakupov's had better players to play with under Nelson. I think that in the last game, I thought Taylor Hall was better last game. So I would say I think they're playing like they're a looser bunch. They're finding a little bit of comeback in them, where they would have been dead a lot of other times. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're kind of showing some signs of a team that has some semblance of life. But you know what? Like, it's so hard to judge you guys. And I mean, it's so hard to say, well, Dallas didn't do this or Dallas didn't do that. I mean, Dallas never really got the shakeup that Todd Nelson got, right? Like Dallas, like you guys said it before I came on, look at the centers Dallas was dealing with. Mm-hmm. Look at the goaltending he got. I mean, if Todd Nelson gets the same goaltending out of Scrivens and Foss that the Dallas did most of the year, you think any of this looks any better? Probably not. Maybe a few individual players here and there are a little better, but the goaltending's flat out been better. So it's hard to judge and say, well, Dallas failed, this and that, Todd's better here and there. I mean, they're getting some better results, but there's some pretty key things in place. I mean, they've got better centers, and their goaltending is playing better. So Dallas might have been able to extract that with the same, had the dual tending turned. It's tough to say.
Well, the one difference is I think Aikens at the end was overcoaching. I think that's abundantly clear. Guys were having to think rather than react, and I think Nelson has definitely calmed that down. Practices,
well, he
kinda pace.
Goes with his gut, doesn't he?
Yeah, practice.
Find that he goes with his gut?
A little bit. His matchups, I was charting them. His matchups aren't drastically different, although it's better when you've got Roy and you got Lander. They had to protect Draisaitl so bad because he wasn't close. And it's not the kid's fault. It's the management's fault for putting them there and giving the coach nobody to play. But, you know, I look at his matchups. Like, Justin Schultz is still playing some nights 24, 25 minutes a night. So it's not, you know, there's not drastic differences because ultimately you can only play with the players you have. Like, you can't – Boyd Gordon's not going to play 60 minutes a night because you know he's not giving you any offense. And while winning faceoffs is great, it doesn't, you know, Boyd Gordon's, what, 57% in the faceoff? They're still 29.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess what I mean is, I mean, Nail Yakupov couldn't get in a shootout to save his life, right? Whereas Nelson kind of just seemed to me that game, he just sort of looked at it and went, you know what, he's playing pretty well. He's had a few chances. He looks like he's feeling it. Let him go.
Yeah.
Go. You know, he just seems to kind of be letting his gut go a little bit. I tell you what I didn't like last night. I didn't like the way he started the game last night at all. Like, not at all. I mean, Washington wants to throw their fourth line on the starting. I mean, Dallas would have had, Todd would have had to put his line out there first, right? He would have had to say who he was going to start first because they were on the road.
Yep.
But I would have come back hard with Hall. Like, I don't know why they waited with Hall. I mean, Washington came back with Ovechkin, and it looked like Washington wanted the Ovechkin-Yakupov-Derek Roy matchup, and Nelson kind of let it happen, but his top line stayed on the bench for the first 3.5 minutes of the game. And I just remember thinking, like, why are you going into Washington and starting your fourth line? I don't really get that. You know, like, it's a game of offensive players, and those guys are going to want to go hard against Ovechkin and company. Like, put them out there. Let them go. And they backed their way into that game big time. They didn't have a shot for, like, 11 or 12 minutes. I didn't love that decision-making last night.
Yeah. You know, I think you're bang on there too, Ryan. I mean, what I like about Nelson is his instincts. Now, that doesn't mean tactically he'll do it like everybody would draw it up, vis-a-vis getting your big line out there right away. But say a simple thing, and let's not forget, he used Yakupov a second time. He made sort of the same move, fired it wide, no chance of it going in. So now he's one for two. But you know what? He grabbed that kid, and it's not going to turn the season around necessarily, but at least it leaves the door open when he picks him out that first night. Here's a kid who's down, staring at his shoes on the bench, had nothing but failure. You put him out, he scores. Okay, he misses, but maybe you've got that kid's attention for another stretch of games now.
Well, and it was a safe move too, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he put him out there shooting third, where he was either going to win or lose the game on his stick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go first. If you miss, well, there's still hope a couple more guys get to go. Right? You put him in a safe spot both nights where the pressure of the game wasn't hanging on him, but the reward potentially was he scores and feels good about himself and there's some confidence. So
it's feel, yeah. It's
just a good touch. It's a good touch to me.
The All-Star break comes maybe at a bad time for the Oilers because they've won two games
red hot
in a row. But, you know, the Oilers, they're not catching Buffalo for the race for McDavid, and I think they'll pass Arizona. Like, where do you think, honestly, the Oilers are going to finish standings-wise overall in the league?
I think Nelson and company are probably going to screw this up a little bit. So, I mean, at this point, I could see the Oilers end up finishing ahead of Buffalo and ahead of Arizona. You know, they're in an absolute free fall. I could see them finishing 28th in that number three spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about Carolina. Like, honestly, the race becomes to see who can dish off more parts. And I mean, the Buffalo Sabres are just going to make it's going to be embarrassing. They're going to make no bones about what they're doing and how they're trying to do it. And the head coach or the general manager will be furious every time they win a game, I'm sure. Like, they're absolutely in a free fall and on purpose. Whereas the Oilers are kind of, I think Craig McTavish probably, he needs to see some signs of life out of this team because it's been dead for too long. So I'm sure they'd love to finish in one of those bottom two spots, but I have a feeling they end up coming in third last, and then really it's to the luck of the draw after that. But honestly, man, I don't see them going on any kind of sustained run.
No. I thought maybe Carolina. New Jersey's another team that's terrible too, but that might be a team to reel in.
But they've got some goaltending. At least Jersey's got goaltending. I mean, Yeah, like the teams that they're at it with right now. I mean, Arizona, they dealt away the only goaltending they had, Dubnyk. You know, Smith's just been brutal all year long. Buffalo's going to keep moving pieces out. So, I mean, I don't think that the Oilers end up in one of those last two spots. Now, maybe they catch some Oiler luck in the draft lottery and get a chance to draft one of those two guys. But I don't think that they're going to finish in 29th or 30th.
Shogger, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, boys, have a great night.
Jaron Rashog from TSN.